Track 3. As the life of the Duke of Edinburgh is celebrated and his death mourned across the country, the Commonwealth and beyond, Rowan Mantell remembers his special relationship with Norfolk.
Prince Philip was born in Greece, raised in France, Germany and Britain, and after an early career at sea, he dedicated his life to representing his adopted country around the world. But it was to Norfolk he returned again and again. The royal estate at Sandringham has been a sanctuary for generations of the royal family, and Prince Philip loved it throughout his adult life, choosing to spend much of his retirement here. Decades earlier, it was sad news from Sandringham that changed his life forever. When King George VI died here in 1952, the prince's glittering naval career was curtailed, and he stepped into his lifelong service of supporting his wife and queen. In that role, he visited towns and villages, schools and churches, businesses and charities across Norfolk through 7 decades, sometimes with the queen, sometimes alone, always with a keen interest in the people he was introduced to and whatever he was opening, inspecting, launching, or touring. However, Sandringham wasn't all about duty. 2 of the Duke's passions were pheasant shooting and carriage driving, and the 25,000-acre estate was ideal for both. He also enjoyed reading and painting, and again, the rural retreat gave him time and space for both, plus a hands-on role overseeing the farms, forestry, and other businesses. Famously, the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh hosted family Christmases in Grand Sandringham House, but at other times of year, out of the public eye, they would retreat to nearby Wood Farm, Wolferton, with its wide, peaceful views of fields and marshes stretching to the Wash. In his retirement, the Duke spent much of his time at Wood Farm, until the pandemic meant he and the Queen had to shield at Windsor Castle. People who worked with or for the Duke talk about his kindness, intelligence, humour, and dislike of too much fuss and ceremony, as well as that reputation for straight speaking. He was well known as a man of action and a family man, but was also a writer, artist, thinker, and environmentalist. Prince Philip was associated with almost 1,000 charities as president, patron, or honorary member, spanning science, education, conservation, and sport. In Norfolk, he was patron of Pensthorpe Conservation Trust, Norfolk County Cricket Club, the Norfolk Nelson Museum, and the Royal Norfolk and Suffolk Yacht Club. He was an honorary member of the Rotary Clubs of Hunstanton and King's Lynn, and of the Norfolk Club, a church warden at Sandringham Church, and president of Sandringham Driving Trials. The veteran radio presenter Paul Barnes interviewed Prince Philip about his carriage driving for the BBC more than 40 years ago. "I liked him immensely," said Paul. "He was very affable and expansive and enthusiastic." Another near-legendary Norfolk carriage driver is John Parker, who knew the Duke well. In 1996, on the 150th anniversary of Britain's last ever regular mail coach journey from London to Norwich, John retraced the route in the same coach, and breaking the world records for speed and for the longest distance driven by a single coachman. "The Duke of Edinburgh told me I was an idiot, if I remember rightly," said John in an interview a few years ago. "I've been in races against him lots of times. I won quite a lot of times, and he won quite a lot of times. He's a professional when it comes to being in the right place at the right time in a race. It's infuriating." The publisher, Michael Russell of Wilby near Harleston, knew the intellectual side of the prince, publishing a book of his lectures, speeches, and philosophical discussions, and 2 books of letters between the Duke of Edinburgh and the Dean of Windsor. Back in 1956, Prince Philip invited Norwich-born artist Edward Seago on a tour of the Antarctic on the royal yacht Britannia. During the voyage, the prince and Seago painted portraits of each other, which were shown together 60 years later in an exhibition at Buckingham Palace. Peter Kane was on that voyage as an officer of the royal yacht. He treasured a certificate printed from a woodblock cut by Prince Philip and Edward Seago on Christmas Day 1956. One print was given to each sailor as they crossed the Antarctic Circle. Peter, who retired to Taverham, near Norwich, circled the world 5 times on the royal yacht, his memory stretching back to seeing the Queen and the Duke reunited with 5-year-old Prince Charles and 3-year-old Princess Anne on board on the final stage of a long Commonwealth tour, and the young royals riding bicycles around the deck. "It was a job in a million, and such an honour," said Peter in 2012. Nick Daubney, a former mayor of West Norfolk, met Prince Philip several times and said, "His sense of humour was absolutely fantastic. It was great to listen to him talk and to be with him. What a remarkable man, and what a remarkable life." Pageant master Bruno Peake of Galston got to know the Duke while organising the national celebrations for the Queen's Gold and Diamond Jubilees and her 90th birthday, and he said he had a great sense of humour and listened to what you wanted to say and was full of encouragement for whatever you were doing. He was a real man of the people who could talk to anybody at any level. There was no snobbery or class distinction. Sir Timothy Coleman represented the Queen in Norfolk as a former Lord Lieutenant. Prince Philip's life was dedicated to supporting Her Majesty in everything she's done in the service of this country throughout her long reign, said Sir Timothy, whose late wife, Mary, was cousin to the Queen. "I had the great privilege of seeing this firsthand on the many occasions on which they came to Norfolk, a county for which they've always had a great personal affection. Prince Philip himself demonstrated a deep and genuine interest in the many local activities he supported and encouraged throughout the region, particularly where conservation and the young were concerned. I know of many who acknowledge that they owe their self-confidence and success in later life to their involvement when young with the Duke of Edinburgh's award scheme. And on a personal note, it's the infectious enthusiasm and unfailing good humour that he brought to this life of dedicated public service that I, like many others, will miss so much."